KBYR on Facebook at AM 700 KBYR.
I like you better on Facebook.
Now, back to Michael Dukes.
Holy night.
The Michael Dukes Show. AM 700 KBYR. Thanks for coming in. It is my final broadcast day of 2016. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to Harmony Rowe and Jake Hamburg. They'll be on the program. Do a little bit of a crossfire face-off kind of thing. She is an Alaskan Republican. He is an Alaskan Democrat. They both done work for the parties in various forms, but they're both friends too. So it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be fun. That's coming up tomorrow on the program. Then next week, Brad Keithley will be joining us, and we'll be talking with him about he'll be running the show. We won't be talking about anything. I'll be sleeping. or rubbing my belly while I eat lots of good fattening food. I don't know, something. Anyway, he'll be running the program and taking you through Tuesday through Friday of next week. On Monday, we've got a year in review. ABC News' year in review will be up on Monday for 3 hours. And then the following Monday, The Blaze. We've got the Blaze special for the year as well. So Brad will be Tuesday through Friday of next week, and then Tuesday the following week, and then I'll be back on the 4th of January. So I'll be back into the new year. It'll be exciting stuff.
Lucky me.
Lucky Eric. See, this is what happens when you come in late in the year. You don't get all that free time and, you know, no. Yeah. They basically said, dude, you got to take time off. You don't ever take time off. I'm like, okay, fine. Whatever you say. All right. So, today, just in case you were, hi, how are you? Welcome to radio. All right. So just in case you were wondering, today is, it is the last day. We are going to sneak a couple firearm stories in just because 2 weeks of that Firearms Friday, I don't know what to do with myself, quite honestly. It almost hurts my soul. So we are going to sneak in a couple stories about firearms. But mostly today it's positive stuff. You know, you got to have the broccoli before you can get the dessert. So we do have a few guests and stories that are going to be kind of, we just talked with Frank McQuarrie from the Alaska Republican Party about the session and everything else. But we do have one more guest set coming up. Pat Pitney, who is the director of the Office of Management and Budget for the state of Alaska, and Scott Kendall, who is Governor Walker's chief of staff, are going to be calling into the program at 7:45. So about 40 minutes or so from now, we'll be talking with them about the proposed budgets for this year. And we're going to have some words. We're going to see if we can get the governor on, and in fact, we'll see if we can get a hold of Katie and see if we can get the governor on that week that I'm back, so that week of the 4th. Eric, maybe make a note of that. We'll send Katie an email, and we'll see if we can get him on that week prior to the session starting, because we definitely would like to talk to him personally on his thoughts on that. So anyway, that's the guest coming up. Lots of good stories, and quite honestly, there's some doozies in there. There are some real doozies out there. Positive stuff, yes, but we were talking about it in the last hour, how difficult it is to find positive stories without a political slant.
But I did find a positive note that we kind of didn't touch on yesterday, which yesterday was, I believe, the winter solstice, which comes with some good news, especially for those of you who, like myself, have a seasonal depression, or you're just lazy and you use it being dark outside as an excuse. But from yesterday on, it's going to start getting lighter and lighter outside, so that's great.
That's right. You're actually gaining daylight now. I think, what did you gain today? Like 7 seconds or something of daylight today.
I know. I noticed it. I could feel it on my way in.
He's like, I could feel.
I was about to have an aneurysm, and I could feel the sun coming up in about 3 hours.
Has it been Monday all week, Eric? Is that? Eric and I have the running joke now about Mondays. We kind of like to avoid them for the rest of the year.
Yeah, if anything goes, if any of our listeners hear some stuff going on Mondays that doesn't sound right, just help us just make it funny. call us, laugh at us, make fun of us.
Just know that it's Monday, just first
know
of all.
That we're hurting inside because nothing is happening.
Our souls are crying out because it's Monday. Oh, man, it's pretty. The good news is that, hey, Eric, by the way, no more Mondays for the rest of the year.
Oh, man, that is amazing.
Yes. That's amazing stuff. All right, but there are some great stories out there. All right, there are some good stories, and there's a few of them that we definitely would like to tell. Boy, I've got 700 different windows up right now. Okay, so here we
He's
go.
He's just trying to make me cry.
I am. I cannot read some of these stories on the... there's a couple of them that I started to read, and I was like, I can't even finish reading this, let alone actually read it out loud,
they're sad enough, but when you have kids that you can somehow kind of relate to.
Yeah, well, and they're sad, but they're also, I mean, they are uplifting in a way. Right. I mean, it just shows the value of, you know, how it's just not all bad. I mean, you know, if all you hear is the news is, you know, all you read is Drudge and CNN and you see how horrible human beings are to each other. And, you know, we see that day in and day out. And, you know, not all humanity's like that. I mean, it's just, you know, you do give back. I mean, the cafeteria worker at the Hospital of Chicago that we read about the last hour. I mean, she works in the cafeteria. She doesn't make a lot of money. She spent $5,000 that she saved and scrimped for over the year for those kids. You know, not for edification of herself, but because she believed in the kids. I mean, I just think that's amazing. And then you've got this story, and I told Eric during the break, I said, I don't know if I'll make it through this story. So again, I know that they say it's not cool to weep on the air, but just if I don't make it through, I apologize ahead of time. So it's a letter that was found lying in a field in Scotland, and it triggered a community-wide search for its author. It was a letter that was attached to a balloon. And it was written, it must have been up there forever because the story just came out here a month ago. The balloon apparently was one of those Mylar balloons with the helium in it that apparently was, you know, good about keeping the helium in it because it was written, in early December. So it was up there for 2 or 3 weeks before it came down in the field. And it's a letter from a child addressed to their deceased father in heaven. Hi, Dad. Just writing a letter to tell you that I'm missing you and tell you news. I'm sure you know I'm in foster care because Mom is sick and my ear is blocked for Monday. Tomorrow we're leaving. I really miss school and you, and I know you're up in heaven, but are you safe? Oh, and before I go, here's my dreams and my Christmas list. And my dream is for you, my daddy, to put a note under my pillow that you wrote. And my Christmas list is some boots and some studs and a Rubik's Cube. Bye, Daddy. I love you. Oh, man. So the note was found in the field by Stuart McCall, who lives on the edge of the field. He posted a photo of it to social media, asking for information about about its writer so he could try and surprise the child with the gifts that they ask for Christmas. He goes, this was just too sad. So, but I mean, it's got 2 million shares right now on social media. So here's to hoping that somebody knows who this is. But I mean, it's like a modern day message in a bottle. I mean, whew, wow. And as a father of five, I can tell you right now, this breaks my heart. But it's also uplifting to know that somebody out there is searching for this kid to try and help them a little bit, to try and get them to, you know, try and give them some positivity, to try to make, you know, to try to make their Christmas dreams come true. That's the important part. Oh, wow. I think I just wrung myself out on that one. That was a hard one. There's lots of great stories out there, going on right now. And again, I don't know why a lot of these positive stories have at their heart a kernel of sadness, but I mean, it just seems like people again are overcoming. The Detroit Police Department had a loss back in October. I think we actually reported on this when it was happening because it was another one of those, police deaths that we were concerned whether or not it was intentional or not. This was, when Detroit Police Corporal Myron Jarrett was killed by that hit and run driver during a traffic stop in October. His police department and his family and everybody came together, they got adopted. They got adopted by the Detroit Lions, quarterback Matthew Stafford and his wife. They adopted Myron Jarrett's family. Jarrett's wife, Sasha, said that, I have a daughter that's a senior in high school, so she's really taking it hard, and her father won't be there for her graduation, and now it's a double time, holidays and not being there for the graduation. Apparently Matthew Stafford and his wife, they came over, they delivered a huge, bunch of presents to the family and giving back as best they could. Now, they couldn't do it Christmas morning because the Lions are going to be busy trying to clinch a playoff spot on Christmas morning. So they arrived yesterday, with early Christmas and early Christmas presents. They're going to watch after them. They're going to watch after the Jarretts, which is, it's good when the community comes together and gives back on things like that. So again, more positive, but again, each one seems to have a little bit of a kernel of sadness at it, but that's how it works sometimes. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we've got a couple interesting, touch on is Christmas music, which I love Christmas music. I'm going to hit the Christmas music here on the way in anyway, just because we can here. Oh yeah. Little Dino right there. Little Dino. Dino Martin. The Michael Duke Show. This program brought to you by your friends over there at the Alaska Sleep Doctor, Dr. John Krellick. He is, there to make your life better. Now, if you're like I am and you have sleep apnea, well, I gotta be honest with you. Sometimes your quality of life goes way down. Not being able to sleep is definitely not a good thing. And that's where I was at. I basically hadn't had a good night's sleep in over 5 years. I finally got myself checked. I went to a sleep lab. I did all that, but it was thousands and thousands of dollars. It was time off work. You could get all that done today. And Dr. John Krellick will do the consultation for you absolutely free. Plus give you a test that you could take at the comfort of your own home. Stop by and see the Alaska Sleep Doctor today at alaskasleepdoctor.com or give him a call, 743-8987. Snoring, it's bad for relationships and bad for health. Again, Dr. John Krellick and company over there, proud sponsors of the Michael Duke Show on AM 700 KBY. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, man, you can't ask for it any better than that. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. Back with more right after this.
Coming up next on the Michael Duke Show.
All right. Whew, man. How about a little music? How about a little uplift? How about a little more positivity? Oh, we might get into a gun story or two as well. That's all directly ahead. The Michael Duke Show, AM 700 KBYR. 274-5297, 274-KBYR. Toll free, 866-610-KBYR. If you'd like to join us on the phone and talk about holiday stuff, I don't want gripe fest today. I want positive stuff. Bring it on. Back with more right after this. This is the Michael Duke Show at KBYR.com. We appreciate you joining us. Don't forget, you can always drop us an email, me@MichaelDukeShow.com. That's me@MichaelDukeShow.com. Now, back to more of Dukes on Demand with a podcast on AM 700 KBYR.
Call the show now and join the conversation at 907-274-5297.
Hello? operator.
Or toll free around Alaska at 866-610-5297.
A wonderful Christmas time.
Oh, baby. Welcome back to the program, The Michael Duke Show, AM 700 KBYR. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. I appreciate you listening. You know what? Thanks for making 2016 a pretty damn good year. I mean, we've had a lot of fun. And, again, welcome to, my new producer, Eric Price. You know, he doesn't suck, which is always a plus. And, he's,
compliment me?
Isn't you like that, huh? That was like
a nice backhanded little compliment.
Eric is doing a great job, and he's doing a good job, and we love having him on the program. We appreciate him coming out. Fortuitous circumstance, and we're happy to have everything fall into place. It's been very very good. Been very very good year 2016, and we appreciate you guys all being part of it. Today's program is really kind of all about positive stuff, fun stuff, kind of uplifting. It's, well, mostly uplifting. I mean, we still have to do a few things like, we're going to have to be talking with the, folks from the, state of Alaska here. Pat Pitney and Scott Kendall are coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk with them a little bit. We got a couple gun stories that we're going to talk about. But the biggest thing is that I just want to end because it's my last broadcasting day in 2016. I want to end my kind of the day on a positive note. And, I can't think of a better way to do it. Have you seen what's been trending on Facebook? I mean, I'm not a huge Facebook. I mean, I'm on Facebook every day for the show and everything, but I'm not a huge Facebook guy, but I do occasionally look at what's trending just to see what people are talking about because I think it's interesting. Sometimes the dumbest things that they're talking about, other things. But the, one of the big things that they're talking about right now and has been trending on Facebook all morning has been this, this 10-year-old girl with autism. Her name is Kaylee Rogers. She has autism and ADHD. But she's now being heard around the world after her version of Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah has taken the internet by storm. The video was recorded as part of the Killeard House Special School Christmas Show. It's a school for special needs kids. And this is Kaylee Rogers, who is out there again singing Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah. We're going to play this in the background as we go forward here with our special stories. Man, 10 years old. That girl's got a set of pipes on her. She's going places. I'll tell you what. And to overcome it with autism and everything else, I mean, it's just such a feel-good story. I mean, it really is. I saw it this morning, and I'm like, I got the audio to Eric this morning first thing, because I'm just like, we gotta have this. I love that song anyway. It's just so touching. And then on top of that, she just nails it. So we're just going to have that kind of posted on through the background. What if your dog thinks you're immortal? This sounds like a Reddit thread, but really, I mean, it's a Reddit Tumblr kind of thread. That's where I got started, was on Tumblr. Somebody actually posited it as a concept, and that's a kind of an interesting question. What if dogs look at us like, hey, these immortals are so kind to us, we must be good friends to them, you know? They basically never see their owners grow old or weak, right? I mean, it's a 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And they're just like, you don't grow old. So just think about that for a minute. That's just... Man, the Fields train pulling out of the station this morning, right? I mean, is it me? I was a guy. Now, if you told me 5, 6 years ago, 8 years ago, that I'd be the guy that had the dog with me all the time. The dog's in the studio right here at my feet right now. I'd laugh at you if you said that. But I'm that guy now. I'm that guy that has the dog with him all the time, hanging out. So I could definitely, that story, I can't even go into it anymore because it just makes me all weepy. And, that's good stuff. All right. What else I got on the inspiring stories? So many different, good things out there. What I was telling folks earlier is that we were having a little bit of a hard time trying to find, some of these stories because it seemed like one of the things that was happening was the second that you start reading the stories, you get a little bit out of shape because they put some kind of political slant on it. And that is tough. I mean, Eric and I were laughing because it just seems like it was tougher. It was tougher than I anticipated. And I'll give you a couple examples. California town is offering free college courses for residents and workers, which sounds great until you actually read into the story and realize that a portion of this is all paid for by tax dollars from the California town. So they're taxing the residents to then give them free stuff, which, okay, that's a little irritating. And then one of the other stories was that, like, the D.C. City Council approves the nation's most generous paid leave program. Great. Great. Except for, of course, the fact that those generous leave programs are paid for by tax dollars. But there are good news in the world, folks. It's not all, you know. How about the postal worker? And we all give postal workers a hard time, right? We all give the postman a hard time because, doggone it. But even though her mail truck was on fire, a fearless postal worker made sure that all the Christmas gifts in the rear of the truck were saved. The driver apparently reportedly pulled her mail truck over when her dashboard started to smoke, and all of a sudden the engine and the dashboard area burst into flames. She started calmly removing the packages from the vehicle. Then a bystander, after making sure that the mailwoman was okay, joined in to help. Once local firefighters arrived, the flames were quickly extinguished. But they've got video and pictures of this. I mean, she's literally just slowly pulling calmly pulling all these packages and neatly stacking them out next to the truck, away from the truck, she saves all these people's Christmas. Only two packages were consumed in the blaze by the time it was all said and done, but there's a huge pile of packages, mostly from Amazon and other online stores. Somebody else has got a great idea. And just, you know, we give postal workers such a hard time, but there's what, God bless you. You know what? For working at it and getting in there and putting it all out there. That is truly good. That's not the good news DC area paid leave. Shut up. I mean, I say that in a loving Christian way, but just shut up. Give me a story that's got real heart. Give me a story where, you know, people are putting themselves out on the line and doing that kind of stuff. Give me, you know, do it. Did you see the story about the stolen gnome? You know, is that a thing still? People still stealing gnomes?
I thought that's the joke, to put the gnome out there, that somebody's going to take it. I thought that's the purpose. Because otherwise, I don't see a purpose putting those creepy little bastards out in your front lawn.
Oh, come on, they're beautiful. What are you talking about?
There's an episode. Do you remember that 90s show Goosebumps? They had like all the books.
Oh yeah, the R.L. Stine,
yeah,
the Goosebumps
R.L. Stine
thing.
Yeah, the Goosebumps series. There was a episode Because, you know, the myth that gnomes come to life at night and all this stuff. And there was an episode when I was younger, like the late 80s, early 90s of this episode where these gnomes came to life and all this stuff. Just ruined my childhood. Still lives with me a little bit.
Well, you can't go into my studio. You've seen on my side here, studio.
So I don't walk all the way in the, I stand in the doorway.
With the, I've got a gnome, but he does have an AK, so it's okay. It's a gnome with an AK-47. He's protecting
my. I don't
know
if that's better or worse.
He's protecting mine.
I don't trust his beady little eyes.
Yeah, Bev York, who lives in Victoria's Highlands property in British Columbia, noticed late last year that her garden gnome that she had out in her lawn was missing. And she thought, well, first of all, you know, I don't know how you would miss. It says misplaced or stolen. I don't know how you'd misplace a lawn gnome. I mean, do they just, you know? And it was gone for about 8 months. Then in July, the statue reappeared once more in her front lawn in a plastic bag tied to the gate with a hardcover book of the newly dubbed Leopold. She looks, and it's literally a book, a hardcover book, with a picture, and it's, hi, my name is Leopold, the traveling gnome. One morning back in December of 2015, I saw a motorhome toddle along the road, and thought to myself, there's gotta be more than life than standing knee-deep in rainwater, being peed on by neighborhood dogs, and staring at the same view every single day. So I decided to hook a ride. And so they literally, it is a trip across America, across North America. I mean, to the Grand Canyon, all along Route 66, what appears to be the beaches of San Ignacio, Mexico. He's enjoying things like enjoying a margarita and all this. the last page of the book, an inscription that Bev took to heart, and said, "Hope you enjoyed my album. Sorry I disappeared for so long, and remember, adventure before dementia." And it's so cool. I mean, pictures of the, here's the picture in front of the Grand Canyon. Here's the picture out in drinking a margarita. Here's the picture on the beach with little handwritten notes about what he was doing at the time.
The roaming gnome.
God, that is hysterical. Yeah, never roam alone, right? Or whatever it is that it was a Travelocity or somebody that picked up on that.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that little dude didn't just go out on his own volition and go traveling.
Oh, come on. Don't go there. Don't buy into conspiracy theories. Because it could be true. Just saying.
Don't you know they all have cameras in them, man? That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. All right, what was the other story I was going to do? Oh, how would you rate, this is hysterical, how would you rate on this 1930s husband-wife test? So in 1939, psychologist Dr. George W. Crane assembled a squad of 600 men and 600 women to list the pros and cons of their husbands and wives. And he used that information to put together a marriage ratings evaluation. And he basically put together a list of questions, 50 questions for men and 50 questions for women, and basically to rate whether you are a good or a bad husband and wife. And basically each counts as a point. You know, you get demerits, which take to the score, you know, you get either demerits or merits. So. The result is, if you've got 50 points, you know, I mean, you can be poor to very superior. But I have to laugh at these questions now, because of course, times change and cultures and everything else like that. But here are some of the, on the demerits, so they got two columns, basically demerits and merits, right? So bads and goods. So for the ladies quiz, and I'm just wondering how many of you ladies out there would be in the demerit versus the merit column. Here are some of the demerits. Slow in coming to bed. Delays until husband is almost asleep. Okay, that still might be applicable today, all right? Fails to sew on buttons or darn socks regularly. Oh man, I hate it when my wife doesn't do that. Seams in hose are often crooked. Puts her cold feet on husband at night to warm them. That's a demerit! I hope my wife's listening. That's a demerit! Is a backseat driver. Oh my gosh. Uses slang or profanity. Squeezes toothpaste at the top. These are actually demerits. Eats onions, radishes, or garlic before a date or going to bed. My gosh.
Dies of smallpox. Oh, just kidding. 30s were a son of a bitch, man.
I know, right. Serves dinner but fails to sit down till meal is half over and wants husband to wait for her. Put stockings it to soak in wash basin. Oh my gosh, these are so great. Some of the positives, though, some of the merits for the women. Has meals on time. Ladies, take note. Ask husband's opinions regarding important decisions and purchases. Greets husband at night with a smile.
Asks permission to eat dinner.
Asking, what was the other one? Oh, can carry on an interesting conversation. Often comments on her husband's strength and masculinity. Can you imagine? Some social justice were triggered. I'm triggered by this. Polite and mannerly, even when alone with her husband. Oh my god. Man,
those 1930s feminists were pretty intense.
I know, man, just like totally triggered when it's all said and done. All right. So the demerits for the men, these are good. Where are we at? We got time. Oh, we're running late. All right. Let's see. Reads the newspaper at the table. Could you substitute phone for that? Criticizes the wife. Belches without apology or blows nose at the table. Careless in the bathroom. Leaves razor out or ring around the tub. Fails to bathe or change socks often enough. Objects to his wife's driving an automobile. Oh, my God. Let's see. Stubbornly, rarely admits he is wrong, seldom apologizes. Makes fun of his wife's hats, clothing, housekeeping, cook. Smokes in bed. Writes on the tablecloth with a pencil. These are actually things that kisses wife just after makeup has been applied. These are demerits. Man. All the positive sides for the guys, you know, gives wife an ample allowance or turns his paycheck over to her. Oh my God. Reads magazines, books, or papers aloud to wife. Holds wife's coat and opens doors for her. I still do that, but that's the way. Does not use tobacco. Willing to go shopping with wife. Ardent lover. Oh my gosh. How would you make it, Eric? How would you have been? Would you have passed that, or is that a pass fail thing? Or
that was definitely a fail. Things are different.
Things is different. Oh my gosh, that is so hysterical. The Michael Duke Show, AM 700, KBYR, Alaska Talks here.
Coming up next on The Michael Duke Show.
All right, we know we're doing lighter side stuff, but we got to do one more solid news block. This time we're talking with Pat Pitney, Director of OMB for the State of Alaska, and Scott Kendall, Chief of Staff for the Governor. We're going to talk about the proposed fiscal year 18 budget. That is directly ahead right here on the Michael Duke Show, AM 700 KBYR. What did you think of today's show? You can always drop us a line, me at michaeldukeshow.com. That's ME at MichaelDukeShow.com. We'd love to hear what your thoughts were. And don't forget, you can always call us in the morning at 274-5297, 274-KBYR. Back to more of the podcast now on The Michael Duke Show. That's right. Police stole my car. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Welcome back to The Michael Duke Show. AM 700 KBYR. The holiday season's is upon us, and this is the my last broadcast day of 2016. We're going to try and continue to hit you with your positivity. We're going to be doing positive and fun and holiday stuff coming up. But right now, we've got to talk about some serious stuff. We're going to talk about the state of Alaska, the fiscal year 18 budget, which the governor released last week, and kind of the fallout of what's going on with that, what's happening. Joining us on the program this morning to discuss it is Pat Pitney, who is the director of the Office of Management and Budget for the state of Alaska, and Governor Walker's new chief of staff, Scott Kendall. They're both on the phone with us right now. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Happy holidays to you.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to both of you as well. Thank you for coming on the program. We appreciate it. So let's start first things first. I would be honest with you when I'd say that I'm disappointed with the governor's budget. I mean, we are still not reaching that sustainable spending level, which has been laid out in the ICER, you know, as suggested by the ICER report. I know it's not the only one out there, but by gosh, it seems to be the one that consensus has is probably one of the best plans to try and get Alaska on the sustainable path. We're well over that, and we have a budget that the governor left basically almost a $900 million funding hole in. And I'm a little disappointed in that. What say you about where we're at right now with the budget and what's happened in that regard and the cuts that were made that the governor did make this go around?
I think, you know, first, recognize that ICER's sustainable spending level 2 years ago was $5 million, and a year ago was $4.5 million, and now this year is $4 million. It's tough to hit a moving target. The budget has come down during Governor Walker's term from $6 million down to now we're at $4.3 billion. So significant reductions, and once you cut something out of the budget, you can't cut it again the next year because it's already gone. So the reductions this year were another $127 million from agency operating budgets out of the unrestricted general funds. And but those were counteracted by legislative formula requirements. So the main one that overshadowed those reductions was a $40 million increase in oil and gas tax credits. Then to meet the community school debt reimbursement program, legislative statutes, which was essentially the restore of a veto last year, that added another $40 million. And the capital budget, just to match our federal funds, is up $20 million from last year. So all of those three left the, you know, took all of the cut from the agency operating to cover.
I agree. I mean, the oil and gas tax credits are going to be the gift that just keeps on giving, unfortunately, and it is going to cost us a lot of money. And I think for a very minimal return, I think that definitely needs to be addressed. I would agree also that any kind of formula funding, obviously is problematic, especially when we're looking at, you know, a variable revenue and everything else. I mean, it was great when we were in high cotton season, not so much as we move forward. Then you're saying 124 in operating a million in operating cuts. What was the net, the net effect when you have the takeouts, the put ins, when everything's all said and done? What was the net overall cut to this $5 billion budget by the time it was all said and done?
So it's at $4.3 billion, but it was just under $30 million. Of unrestricted general fund reduction last year to this year.
So just under $30 million?
Yes.
Okay.
A larger cut to agencies, but, you know, offset by these inflationary pressures that are driven by formula and, you know, all these other factors like healthcare and so forth.
Yeah, and I understand that there's tug and pull. You know, somebody's pulling in one direction, and then another half of the equation's pulling in the other. And I understand that. The governor may have cut 100, 120, 150 million out of, but other things are automatically put in. And again, that's why I think that there definitely is a problem with formula funding to begin with, and that should be opened up, and that should be one of the main talking points this legislative session, because that's the next place to go. As you said, these last couple of years, we've cut out a lot of it's the low-hanging fruit. That's what's happened over the last 2 years, although I know it doesn't feel like it to a lot of people. It's been the low-hanging fruit. The problem is that what I'm seeing, and with all due respect to Governor Walker, who's a friend of mine, and to you guys and the hard work that you have attempted to do in this, to me, I look at this budget, and it seems like it's incomplete. To me, it always seems to be the administration's job to put forward a budget that's funded properly, basically, in my opinion, he should have basically said, here's what I'm going to put forward as a budget that is balanced, and if you guys want to put money back in, that's what it should be. Instead, he's passing the ball off to the legislature and basically saying, now it's your fault or your pass or fail. I mean, it just seems to be a lot of finger pointing, and to me, that happened in the last session as well, which doesn't necessarily help one way or the other. But here's my question. The economy is in a recession. We finally acknowledge that that's what's going on. It's happening right now. When you guys put together the budget, when you all sat down and worked with the governor on the budget, did you guys analyze the impact on the economy, on the Alaska economy? What the proposals that we're talking about with the new taxes, the gasoline taxes and the changing the fundamental, restructuring of the permanent fund? Have you done any kind of economic impact of what that would do to the recession as it currently sits right now? Was there some analysis?
We've looked at the ICER information. They did a study on the impact of using savings, reducing the permanent fund dividend, increasing taxes, whether it be an income tax or sales tax or they didn't go into corporate tax, but we've also looked at corporate tax. And the reality is they all have a negative economic impact, some of them slightly more than others. The reality is the uncertainty in Alaska's economy is compounding that. And so really, if we can get to certainty in the Alaska economy, so businesses begin to invest in Alaska again, that is first and foremost. All of these financial figures will have a negative impact. The fortunate thing is the permanent fund, which is essentially utilizing savings, isn't a draw out of the economy. And that is the cornerstone of the plan.
Well, I mean, you just said you use the ICER clearly states that if you take, and by the way, that is taking money out of the economy. The fundamental restructuring would reduce the amount of the permanent fund down to that $1,000 level instead of utilizing the current formula as it lays out there. That does take money out of the private economy. And if you use the ICER analysis, which clearly states that the number one most detrimental impact to the private economy would be a tapping, changing, or taking of any portion of the permanent fund, followed closely by income and sales taxes, I mean, I'm trying to analyze, that's the most detrimental. Why is that the first thing that we've gone to?
Michael, the other thing is why you see a balance. You see a guaranteed dividend for an amount of time, because you're right. There's no, of all those things, sources of revenue at some point, that none of them, we're sort of in these hard times selecting the least worst answer. No one wishes we are where we are, but we have this yawning gap in the budget, which provides uncertainty, and that continued uncertainty only harms the economy more. This, conversations I've had with industry is, you know, we have this wildly erratic budget because our budget was based 90% off of a commodity, a single commodity. So putting this floor under revenues is the greatest tool for perhaps having rational tax policy that's based on Alaska getting its share while keeping industry competitive. So that's solving part of the problem for them. The other is, you know, the dividend check is part of the culture and fabric of Alaska. So guaranteeing, you know, an average dividend of about $1,100, which is sort of the historical average, is sort of the best way to keep that aspect, but use really the only tool in our arsenal that's big enough to attack this challenge, because I don't think anyone suggests, regardless of whether we're talking about a $4.3 billion budget or a $4.1 billion budget, no one's suggesting we can just cut and get there. And then you've got the other aspect of, if you just decide government doesn't do all these things anymore, because truly at some point, once you work efficiencies into the system and get from, you know, we've come from $6 billion down to $4.3 billion, a pretty dramatic cut, at some point you decide government simply doesn't do things anymore. Certain things it will just stop doing, certain kinds of aid, certain kinds of assistance, certain projects in terms of testing food, clean water, and so forth. That in itself will have a negative effect on the economy, as will, you know, something like mass layoffs. What we have done is it's sort of carefully stepped down, and you don't see it because the state, you know, folks since before I got here have done such a great job of sort of softening the blow to the economy, because we've gone from a situation where under Parnell, I believe we were at about 26,000 state employees. About 10% of those are no longer on the payroll. And, you know, I don't know that the public has felt the impact of that, because the state has been very careful in rolling those out and making sure not to have adverse effects. Another 400 or 500 of those will come off towards the end of next year. So we really are moving in the right direction. But I have to push all these levers a little bit.
But quite honestly, and I'm out of time, unfortunately, because this is, I mean, and I understand what you're saying, but again, to point out the fact that it is the number one most detrimental thing to the public economy that will deepen the recession, to say that it's the only thing that allows us to maintain that Alaska, you know, kind of that we were used to it, so we'll get it. And I know it's a big tool. I know it's the biggest, juiciest target in the room. To me, I find it problematic, but we're out of time. We're up against the break. Pat Pitney, Scott Kendall, I appreciate you coming on and joining us. We'd like to revisit this after the first of the year. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you coming on. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. The Michael Luke Show continues right here on AM 700 KBYR. Back with more. Hour 3 is dead ahead.
Broadcasting from the Holland Roofing Studio, AM 700 KBYR, Anchorage, K230BY Kuparik, and K261AO, Prudhoe Bay.